Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DIA-Torin Full Year 2011 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DIA-Torin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Good afternoon, and welcome to this conference call where we will discuss 2011 results and the guidelines for 2012. In 2011, our revenues 10.4% at current exchange rates. However, we need to look into the different geographies to better understand the trend of the business. Let's start from Europe. In Europe, revenues grew 5.6%, driven by new product introduction and LIAISON XL. I would like to focus on six countries specifically. In Italy, sales did slow down at the end of the year, affected by the financial situation that has prompted cuts in healthcare expenditure at the regional level. Notwithstanding this, DIA-Torin was able to grow nearly 4% since the early introduction of the LIAISON XL. In Germany showed a strong double-digit growth, nearly 12%, since the XL growth was not offset by other adverse effects. Finally, in France, DIA-Torin grew over 6%, even if Roche re-entered the market with its vitamin D test after the summer. Let me remind you that France was one of the countries where DIA-Torin did benefit the most from Roche withdrawal of its vitamin D in 2010. Now, let's move to the U.S. As you know, U.S. is heavily dependent on vitamin D. As discussed before, vitamin D volumes peaked in quarter two 2011, and in quarter three, we experienced a volume drop of nearly 18% in vitamin D testing, derived both from seasonality and a reduction in doctor visits. In Q4, however, vitamin D volumes in the U.S. slightly improved versus quarter three, up 6% from the low of the summer, but still lower than what we have seen in peak season in quarter two. Price, however, continues to decline as an effect of the contract extension that we have already discussed in previous calls. I will discuss later about future expectation on vitamin D prices in the U.S. Finally, in emerging countries, we continue to grow strongly, as we have seen before. In China, our revenue grew over 35%, in South America at 20%. Let me remind you that in China and South America, we have not introduced LIAISON XL growth, so this is organic growth coming from the traditional strategy based on launch of LIAISON and LIAISON products. Emerging countries now represent almost 20% of the overall DIA-Torin business. Second point I would like to discuss is the R&D pipeline. As explained at the Investor Day meeting, DIA-Torin future growth relies on the new products that we plan to launch and introduce in the next 24 months. I'm happy to report that the new product introduction in 2011 has been according to plan. Let me remind you that we have launched in December, as promised, the first of several products on our stool platform. Finally, the XL. In 2011, we have installed 128 systems in Europe and Australia, with an acceleration in quarter four. The system is well received by the high routine customers and is allowing us now to grow in this market segment with the newly introduced HIV and hepatitis assays. Now, let me focus on the 2012 outlook. As explained before, 2012 is a transition year for Diasorin, where we need to manage on one side a vitamin D decline in certain key areas, whereas we need to continue to grow our Liazone and Liazone installments. In the U.S., we expect to see a 15 to 20% decline in vitamin D revenues as an effect of a price decline that is faster than expected due to aggressive pricing from some of the key competitors. Let me remind you that Siemens and Roche have entered the market in quarter four 2011, and now we have better visibility on their pricing strategy in the U.S. For this reason, we will not be able to grow substantially the business, the overall business, since the growth provided by the Liazone XL and all the new product introduction will be partly offset by the sharper vitamin D decline in the U.S. and some other geographies. We expect in 2012, however, to introduce 7 new Liazone assays, including 2 more stool assays and the HTLV that will complete our blood screening panel. Let me remind you that most of the success of the Liazone XL so far is linked to the launch of the new products in the area of HIV and hepatitis, which happened in the second half of 2011. Finally, in quarter four, we will launch the new molecular platform that we have discussed based on the LAMP technology. The name of the platform is going to be Liazone IM, and we'll be launching Europe with an initial menu of 10 products stemming from infectious disease and onco-hematology. I will now leave the podium to Pierluigi De Angelis, who is our new CFO, who will take you through the 2011 financials, and when Pierluigi will be done, we will open the session for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rosa. Now I go through the presentation of the 2011 results and profit and loss. We had an increase of 8.8% in terms of revenues because the 2010 revenues were close to 404. And 2011 440, so we had an increase of 13.5. But if you see these results at current exchange rate, the result is better because the 8.8% increased to 10.4. This is due to the fact that the average trend of the United States dollar in 2011 was practically lower than the versus euro, lower than 2010. So we had a negative exchange rate of 6.7. Now, if we go to gross profit, the gross profit increased 10.2%, and I think it's very, very important to underline the fact that not even it increased in absolute value more than 29 million euro, also, in terms of percentage, it increased very close to 1 percentage point, and from 70.4% to 71.3%. That means that our industrial structure is very, very, very strong, and also there is a continuous improvement also in terms of managing the industry. The total operating expenses, they went from 131 up to 140. With an increase very close to 50 million euro. Increase also to in terms of percentage 11.1%. But we have to consider two very important facts, which are, first of all, the fact that we, in 2011, we have 12 months in our perimeter of Eurex business. That in 2012 was only 6 months. So we had practically the cost for 12 months in 2011. Then another point I think is very, very important to underline is what Dr. Rosa Roscano was saying before, that this company is put in place a very strong of renewing costs. And we see this in terms of increased current costs, that they increased 2.1 million euro plus 2011. We are investing for in the future. Then if you go to other operating income, we have 2010 8.4 million euro. Of these, there were non-recurring expenses, 5.7, and in 2011 they decreased 5.1. I want to spend 2 words in the non-recurring amount for 2010, and this will cost due to one shot for the cost related to acquisition of Cure. And we had to pay practically our financial advisor, legal advisor, etc. And then when we got the business, we put in place in a very short period of time a very strong restructuring action, and this means that we had practically non-recurrency cost, but we had all the benefits in this year, in 2011. Let's spend 2 words in comments. Is which is in the 5.2. We have provision. We have some taxes which are not recoverable, and all this they are up to 5.2. The EBIT also increased very, very close to 18 million euro plus 12.2%. In the EBIT for 2011 is 163.3, and the EBIT in last year was 145.5. Also this, we can see that the decrease in the gross margin in terms of percentage of 1 point went down up to the EBIT because it increased 1.1%. So practically we had a very tight control also on the cost, and we got the benefit up to the EBIT. The net financial income expenses, they increased from 0.6 negative up to 5.1. We have to consider on this I would say a comment on the financial system in Europe. What happened in Europe? You know that in the last part of the year, Europe had a lot of problems, starting from August up to December, and is continuing also this year. The company decided at this point, considering the sovereign debt, decided to factorize some account receivable related to Diasorin in Italy. All the receivables related to the sales that we have done to the public hospital in Center and South Italy. But clearly the cost of the factoring in the last part of the year, it increased. But in any case, we decided practically to take away from our balance any risk related to the account receivable with the public hospital. Then we had also evaluation of fair value of the, you know that we sell dollars because company is strong in dollars that we cash from the state. So we decided to sell dollars, and then considering the trend of the dollar, we had a negative value of more than 1.1. And we also now a translation effect of 1.4 in terms of exchange rate in the balance sheet item. The income tax has also increased in terms of tax rate, which went down from 37.6 down to 37.1, or 5 less. And this is due also to the fact that the contribution in terms of profit of our Sony Inc. subsidiary in the States, they contribute less. But in the state, the tax rate is higher because it's very close to 37%, 38%. Net profit is 99.6%. will be 5.2 million euro, more than 10%. And I think that I would like to underline in terms of percentage, at the end of the day, this group turning to as profit is 2.5% of the revenues. That I think is a number that's not up to me to comment, but could be asked to underline. And also related to 2010, we increased from 20.4 to 22.5. So even if in a very turbulent scenario, the profit company of Diasorin Group is still remaining very, very significant. Okay. If we go to the sales by technology, I already commented the sales which has an increase of 10.9 versus 2010. Of these revenues, we have to consider also that the clear technology, it increased from 69.9 in 2010 up to 73.7. So more and more this company is going to the technology of Clea. And this increase is due to infectious disease 15.2, endocrinology 12.7, and vitamin D 10.7. So you can see that we are investing in this technology and it's going up in also different segments. ELISA, the total revenue are 12.8%. We have a decline related to 2010. If we included Murex, the 12.8% it increased in 2011 up to 19.2%. On real sales, we have it is from 5.5 down to 4.5. On the geographic area, we have, I think it's very, very important to underline that Europe and Africa, it grew up in current constant exchange rate, they grew up 5.6%, and they went from 178 million euro up to 188. The Central and South America, they had a more than double-digit increase because they went up in current rate 20.8%, growing from 25 million euro up to 30 million euro. Asia and Pacific, they increased from 33 up to 42, and they increased 26.5%. North America, we had a decline, but this decline that is underlined as 3.2%, if you consider, as I said before, the negative impact of the exchange rate, really it increases 1.7%. The Murex business, we have to consider that we had 6 months in 2012, in 2010, and we had 1 year in 2011. This means that we got more for the, we had an increase of 15.6 million. These are the most important comments. On the installed base enlargement, we arrived to 4,206 machines in terms of liaison system installed. We were 3,642 as per December 2010. The total liaison system, that we put in place, 565. And the liaison, we had a successful liaison, installer were 128, the XL were 128. On the profitability, I think that I already underlined the increase in the gross profit, 10.2, EBITDA plus 13.7%, the EBIT 12.2%. And the net result that went from 90.4 up to 99.4, the 10.2%. Then on the balance sheet and cash flow. Allora, on the balance sheet, we had practically the net employed capital, which is 351.2, and we have total intangible. The intangible are related to goodwill and immaterials, which is 122. The total tangible assets, they are 63. Then we have other non-current assets, which are taxes. Net working capital, that increased from 106 up to 134, and this is due for two most important factors. One is the stock, and the other one is the account receivable. Other non-current assets, which is also the provision for taxes and the provision for personnel. The net employed capital, it went up from 282 up to 309. The net financial position from 33 up to 41. And we had also a cash equivalent, which went from 62 million euro up to 64. I think that another comment that is very important to you is the cash flow statement. Cash flow statement, if we consider how much cash was generated from the operating activities, is in 2011, 108 million euro, against 96 million euro of last year. We have invested this cash flow in investing activity, which is CapEx, material investment, an amount which is 27.5 million euro. And we had also an investing of 79.3 in financing activity. Which are these financing activities? We bought shares, company shares, in the month of February. We bought other shares the month of October and November, for a total amount of 44.5 million euro. We have paid out dividends to our shareholder for 22 million euro, and we have reimbursed a debt with General Electric of 8 million euro. The total amount is 79. And so the cash, practically, it went from 62 up to 64. I think another aspect that we have to consider is that in 2011, practically, in terms of the results of the group, the consolidated net result, which is 99.6, is very, very close to the results of DiaSorin S.p.A., because DiaSorin S.p.A. is 95. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Pierluigi. I will make the last comment. The first one is to do with the dividend. The board of directors has agreed to submit to shareholder meeting a proposal for a dividend of 0.46 euro per share, which compares to 0.40 per share of 2010. That's a 15% increase. Now, the last comment I want to make has to do with the guidelines. I already explained to you the rationale for our 2012 guidelines. As far as revenues are concerned, we expect revenues in line with 2011 or slightly growing. And this is an effect of a strong growth in our DiaSorin XL platforms and all product families, and a decrease in our vitamin D revenues. As far as the EBITDA margin is concerned, we expect a margin which is in line or slightly below 2011, and this is again because of a sharper decline than expected for vitamin D. In terms of expectation of placements, we reiterate our guidance of between 500 and 600 new liaison systems. In this, a combination of liaison and liaison Excel. Clearly, we expect that the vast majority of these placements will be liaison Excel. At this point, I would open the Q&A session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use a handset when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. That's star and one. The first question is from Romain Zana of Exxon BNP Paribas.
Yeah, good afternoon, Romain Zana. Thanks for taking my question. Three questions, if I may. The first one on the organic growth. If you could give us more color on the different organic growth by product division for the full year. Sorry, got in the mic. Secondly, the organic growth for the group in Q4. The second question is on the new molecular diagnostic platform to be launched in 13. I was wondering what is in 12. What is the incremental growth we can assume for 2013? So coming from new products. And last questions on vitamin D. I think Mr. Rosa mentioned 15 to 20% decline on vitamin D sales for 2012. I was wondering what kind of pricing pressure assumptions do you use to build this assumption?
Yes, I mean, there are, let me tell you, there are some questions I can answer and others that I will not answer. Let me tell you what I will not answer is the LAMP expectation molecule for 2013. This is a looking forward statement that, as you can imagine, I'm not in a position to make. You know, during the investor day that we have given an expectation, company expectation between 15 and 20 million throughout the plan that we have outlined. And at due time, we are going to comment when we will discuss about the guidelines for 2013. We will then discuss about the effect of sales of molecular in that year. As far as organic growth, I can split it for you in two areas. One is vitamin D. Vitamin D still grew in 2011 10%, and the rest of the line grew 12%, around 12%. As far as vitamin D sales in the U.S. and vitamin D pricing, as I said, we have more visibility now vis-a-vis pricing pricing conditions which are offered by Siemens and Abbott in the U.S. What we have seen is that both companies have approached some of our accounts, accounts that, as we have said, were locked with long-term agreements. And in an attempt to try to break this agreement, they offered prices which were less than what we had expected. And in some cases, we have been forced to go back to those accounts and renegotiate with this account because of the price differential, more extension for more price concession. So whereas we had foreseen a model whereby we would see a decline in price spread over the next 3 years, what we have seen in the U.S. and some other key areas, Australia is a good example, is that we will probably take an initial hit in 2012 and then prices are going to stabilize going forward. So it's an anticipation of a price decline that we had expected to happen throughout 3 years rather than one.
Okay.
The next question is from Philippa Gardner of Jefferies. Please go ahead, madam.
Oh, thank you. I've got a couple of questions, if I could. First of all, I was wondering if you could maybe comment so far on what you're seeing in terms of the impact to volumes on send-outs for vitamin D testing, if you have any insights there. Secondly, could you just remind us what your dividend policy is, please? And then thirdly, just in terms of receivables, what was the amount of receivables that you provisioned, and is there any future risk of any write-downs? Thank you.
Okay. Now, as far as, sorry, I'm just taking notes. Your first question was on volumes and send-out. Okay, let me start from the last dividend that we have announced last year, that we have a payout policy of 25%, and therefore, which is in line with the policy that we used in the distributed dividend last year. So if you do the calculation, you end up with 46 cents versus 40 of last year. As far as receivable, we don't see a risk in a receivable. What we see is what we already discussed in certain geographies, and mainly Spain. We see a build-up of receivable that we expect collection time to be 18 months. And the reason being that all these receivables are against the public hospitals, so the government of Spain, that cannot default. But clearly they are asking, the government is now asking companies to finance their debt over 18 months. We go through legal action, and we get the money back from the government with an 11% interest. We expect in 2012 for the reference to start collecting through this mechanism 4 million of receivable of coming from sales which were done in at the beginning of 2011. As far as send-out volume, is quite early, to be honest with you, to see an effect. However, if that can be of any indication, we have discussed with one of our major accounts in terms of expectations vis-a-vis next year and in terms of send-out, and the expectation is that 6%, up to 6% of testing volume which was sent to the central laboratory because of availability of products in the periphery through Siemens and Abbott will be now done in smaller hospitals and small private labs. Expectation is that, however, we still expect a volume growth in the U.S. of 4-5% for vitamin D in 2012. So their calculation was the send-out is almost offset by volume increase.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrew Olanov of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I have a few. Firstly, on vitamin D, you just said that the market would grow 4-5%. Are we to understand that you in the U.S. will grow -15 to -20, or were you giving us a worldwide number? And that implicit price downgrade, does that stay in line with your four-year view on pricing from your midterm statement? Secondly, you spoke a bit about it on the call, but I wasn't able to hear clearly, and it looks like European organic growth has turned negative in Q4, presumably driven by Southern Europe. What sort of trends are you seeing that quarter to date, and when do you think we can feel comfortable around European growth, or do we need to wait for these things to annualize next Q4? And then lastly, on margin stability, with the huge downside that we're seeing to pricing of vitamin D, can you help us understand where you're getting your sustainable margins from? Thank you.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, Andrew, what I will not comment is quarter-to-date, clearly. The quarter-to-date in Q1 2012, you need to wait for a couple of months until we're going to discuss that. Now, as far as vitamin D, we see that as an effect, as I said, as an effect of vitamin D pricing, mainly in the U.S., but in few other geographies. Australia is a good example. We expect the revenues, worldwide revenues for vitamin D to decline between 15% and 20% in the 2012. And this is the reason why, since by the same token, we have a strong growth in our product lines with the Jason XL, the combination of these sharp decline in 2012 will, vitamin D will not allow us to grow as expected. So as I commented before, I believe that in our business model, we have foreseen that prices would have declined slowly over 3 years, whereas I believe that there is a price correction, an immediate price correction, which is taking place, and then prices will stabilize by year-end, beginning of 2013. And at that point, once the base is stable, then volumes, which are still growing, will kick in, and our revenues coming from the other product lines are not going to be eroded any longer from the vitamin D decline.
Does that mean that in the U.S. we've seen prices for non-LabCorp business go to a level that's kind of in line with Europe for 2012, and so we don't need to expect to see a lot more deterioration from there?
This is what I try to say, maybe in broken English, but this is what I said. So the decline in prices in small accounts in the U.S. is sharper than what we expected and is getting to a level that we have seen in the rest of the world. Let me just make a comment here so that we avoid confusion. With really few exceptions, in the U.S. so far, we have not lost any business. And what we have seen, however, is that to keep some of this business, because of this foolish price that has been floating around by Siemens, especially by Siemens, we had to make more concession. However, we are getting more time to the contract. We have committed to move some of these accounts to the Liaison XL, from Liaison to Liaison XL as part of this new renegotiation. And having the Liaison XL platform there, we have now initiated a program that I think we already discussed to bring by year end 2012 between 15 and 20 new products to the U.S. market, mainly in the area of endocrinology, that we believe we then start to grow starting from 2013 on our install base. Key for us is to keep the install base in the U.S., and for this reason, we are not going to lose accounts to Siemens or Abbott simply based on price.
The next question is from Ian Douglas-Pennant of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Yeah, it's Ian Douglas-Pennant here at UBS. And most of my questions have been answered. Just a quick one, not on vitamin D. I was just wondering, could you give us your initial feedback now, presumably you've had time to market, on the blood testing and the stool testing tests and how those are being received in the market?
Yes, two things. First, on the stool test, we are really at the beginning of this strategy, and the reason being that we launched the first product, so we are seeding accounts with the Liaisons in Europe. We will get a much stronger franchise through 2012 because we will introduce more products. One is going to be available in 3 weeks, is the H. pylori test, and the last one, which is a C. diff GDH protein, will be launched in quarter four. The concept, however, is clearly a winning concept of full automation of a laboratory area that today is left to low-end technologies, usually manual technologies. So our initial concept that this would have been the driver for placement, it is proven right. Now, as far as the liaison XL and the hepatitis is concerned, the strategy is working fine because we are starting to work with our install base, as I said. The strategy is very simple. We go to customers that do carry on our liaison platform infectious disease products, other infectious disease, and we lock on the liaison XL that exists in infectious disease business plus all the additional hepatitis business. And the majority of the placements of liaison XL that we've done so far are all driven by the strategy. So the strategy is working for us.
Great. That's fine. Just one more question, which I hope is really quick. Is it fair to say that the prices ex-US and Australia are pretty stable? Is that a fair comment?
Yes.
Thanks.
The next question is from Mathieu Chavert of Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Just one question from my side. Given your solid cash position and the fact that sales for next year will be basically flat or slightly growing, can we imagine that you will be very active in terms of acquisitions?
For us, acquisition has never been driven necessarily by cash availability. Yes, we are looking into, as I said, continuously into opportunities. We have openly stated that we sign up a Japanese bank to look for certain opportunities in Japan. It's a long and painful process, as you can imagine, but it's an ongoing process. And then we have continuous discussions with smaller companies, Biotrin-like, to see whether there is a fit for some of the targets with ASORI. However, I think that in order to deliver the plan that we have promised to our shareholders, we have all the assets internally. As I said, for our future growth is mainly driven by research and development and products that are currently in development with technologies that we have on hand.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Elisa Corri of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Can you please share with us the Forex assumptions behind your guidance for 2012? Thank you.
The Forex assumption for 2012 is at constant exchange rate.
Okay, great, thank you. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Stephanie Babchet of Pascal Advice. Please, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Going back on this price pressure in the US, how well you are protected by this, you are telling us a lot of customers are locked in, and you had negotiated some discounts of them for long. First of all, what part of your customers in the U.S. are locked into this long-term contract? This is my first question. And second question is, how much are you protected with this contract? Because if I understand you well, I mean, you had to renegotiate prices for this specific contract that were supposed to protect you. And what kind of price decline did you give to these customers? I mean, is it a minus 20%, we understand, or am I fully wrong on that? Thank you very much.
We had, by now, I believe, 80% of our business protected by contract. We already had all these contracts in place as of the end of last year. Now, you need to understand what is a contract in the United States. Contract binds fundamentally diasporin and the party who contract to buy vitamin D from diasporin under a certain conditions. And according to that agreement, the price is set. However, it's very clear to me that unless there is a hidden intent by a U.S. hospital or U.S. laboratory it would be difficult for me to sue Vetlab based on the agreement. Okay, and I don't intend to do so because it would expose the company to a liability and a reputation that is not typical in our industry. However, the contract set fundamentally the economic terms under which the two parties intend to collaborate going forward. Now, what happens is that when Siemens and Abbott found all this agreement, which they did not expect, they tried to force us out with some generous participations. Now, I had two possibilities. One was to tell the customers, no, you are locked with Diasorin for the rest, the remaining 24 months, and so you stay, conditions stay as is, and probably I would have got the two results out of it. One is that for sure after 24 months, the customers would have dropped completely Diasorin from the customer list. And this is very clear to me. And, yeah, second, I would have retained the current pricing. We consulted internally, and we decided that this was a long-term view about the U.S. market, and these 500 accounts that we have in the U.S. are the key accounts in the U.S. market, so very renowned private laboratories and hospitals. We decided to have an educated discussion with them, help with pricing when necessary, because, as I said, the biggest asset that the company has in the market is the customer base and our liaison install base in particular. So we intend to rebuild our revenues in the U.S. based on the 20 products that we bring to the market in phase one and 15 more that we intend to bring starting from 2013. But I need that customer base, and I don't intend to go in court with each of those 500 accounts.
And this price discount, it was around 20% discount you granted to your customers. And I mean, how confident you are there won't be further strong pricing pressure, because I believe there is room for pricing pressure considering the margin you do on vitamin D.
I don't know if there is room for price, for more price concessions or not. I think that with the major accounts, we went through one revision after this, after Siemens and Eccles have been aggressive, and the customer decided to sign up and stay with us. This is the only thing that I can tell you. Again, I think that differently from what we had expected, rather than a price decline going happening in the following, in the 3 years after launch, we are taking the hit year one. Okay, we have seen, and at this point, all the players are in the U.S., and the price has been reset to a level that, in my opinion, is a market condition. And from there on, is pure competition based on services, based on systems, based on products.
Of Allianz Global Investment. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I have a question regarding the margin sensitivity that you provided. So you mentioned same to slightly lower EBITDA margin. Is that a kind of safety cushion, or where does this sensitivity come from? Second question is on your XLs. You mentioned vast majority of the new placements are the XL, is it more 60 or 80%? And the question is, what will be, or what do you expect the share of vitamin D versus other tests, as in Europe, basically, it has been mainly hepatitis or HIV. Thanks.
Sorry, Mr. Cook, I don't think I understood your second question. Can you just repeat it?
You did not understand the second question. So the second question was the 500 to 600 machines that you are planning to place next year.
Okay.
You mentioned the vast majority is XL. Is it more 60? Is it more 80%? What is vast in that case was the question. And what do you think, or what is expected? Where is it used, in vitamin D or outside vitamin D?
Yes, thank you. The XL placement for 2012 is going to be the vast majority is going to be an XL. And the liaison today is left to certain geographies, mainly emerging markets, where the liaison continues to have a life strategically. However, even in some of these geographies, like China, for example, we plan to have the liaison XL register and launch in Q4 2012. So very clearly the liaison starting from the end of this year, beginning of next year, will be phased out as a technology. Placements in 2012 will be mostly driven by HIV and hepatitis C. We have, with one exception, we have agreed with LabCorp to start conversion of all the laboratories starting from March 15th. Part of the liaisons that I discussed before will go to LabCorp to substitute the install base of current liaisons that are there to do vitamin D. But again, the vast majority of the Excels will be new business and hepatitis and so forth. As far as the margins, to me, it is quite difficult at this stage, and this is why the ambiguity in terms of the guideline, it is difficult for me to understand the rate by which the price concessions will get in place in the U.S. So depending on which month this concession will hit the market, it will have or not an effect on the margin. However, we have on the other side, we have growth coming from the liaison XL of lines like hepatitis and the HIV and specialty endocrinology. We do carry also high margins. So I expect the margins to be in line or slightly eroding from 2011, mainly again depending on timing on the application of new vitamin D prices. And as far as the U.S. is concerned, our average AUP really depends highly on the amount of business that goes through two channels. One is Cardinal, and the other one is our direct business, versus the amount of business that we do through a couple of large laboratories that buy products in high volume at clearly discounted price. So it is quite difficult for us to predict. In order to be conservative but give to the market the right indication, we have indicated the possibility of a slight margin erosion to plan.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrew Olin of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the follow-up question. Rather than such a focus on vitamin D, I'd love to get an update on some of your core product portfolio. Firstly, if we look at your guidance for next year, for flat growth, the 15-20% decline in vitamin D implies that you're sort of growing 7-10 in the rest of your business. Is this the right assumption to make? And when are we going to see back-end loading of that growth as new products come online? How should we think about that? And then secondly, could you talk to us a little bit about the Japanese market entry and where you stand in getting approval? And then thirdly, how China is developing as a vitamin D market? Thanks.
Okay. Sorry, Andrew, but it's difficult for me to do the math, but I expect that the rest of the catalog, the product catalog, will go well over 10% in 2012 to compensate the decline of the vitamin D. And this is what we are seeing occurring in the last few months. Now, as far as how the growth is going to be, it's going to be positioned throughout the four quarters. I expect that it's going to be backloaded because it takes time for the install base of the Liaison SL that we are installing on a weekly basis to pick up and start generating revenues, whereas it takes only one signature from one day to the other to decrease your vitamin D pricing from X to Y. And since we are in the process of renegotiating, or we have already renegotiated some of these agreements, the vitamin D hit will be seen at the beginning of the year, whereas the kick of all the other product lines will be seen throughout the year. Now, as far as your second question was marketing introduction to Japan, we have sent, as of the end of last year, we have sent all the documents and applications and clinical data which have been requested by the Japanese government. Typically, it takes 6 to 9 months to get the approval of the product, and then 90 days after that to get the to get reimbursement, because as we speak, there is no reimbursement in Japan for vitamin D testing. We believe that starting from the summer, we will start placing systems in some of the large labs in Japan in order for them to be ready to receive the vitamin D orders when the vitamin D is going to be approved in Japan. We believe that fundamentally the Japanese market will develop in a very similar way to what happened in the U.S., where you need to go first for send-outs, which are local, centralized in big labs, and then in phase two to the periphery, to the research labs and hospitals that will see their volume growing. China vitamin D is the beginning of the story. Today is education. So we continue to educate physicians in this case to ordering vitamin D. And we already have a program of continuous education for maternal testing. Because, as you know, one of our studies, which is working very nicely in China, is to introduce infectious disease products for testing during pregnancy. And this has been very successful due to the one-child policy. Our target base is OBGYN, and which it is the same target base because of vitamin E and osteoporosis. So part of the campaign, and we believe we will see the effect in the second part of 2012.
The next question is a follow-up from Romain Zana at Sanfranti Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just a follow-up question on the guidance, actually, because looking at both 2012 and 2015 guidance, it seems the implied average growth per year you need to reach your 2015 goal is around 10% both on sales and EBITDA. So while the latest quarter shows the weak trend, so my question is, when do you expect to see the growth sales growth to pick up significantly, driven by product launch, I guess, and I'm just wondering how back-end loaded can be the 2015 guidance.
Listen, I don't think I'm ready to discuss about the guidance for 2015, with the exception of one comment, which I think is fair. Now, our 2015 guidance, we had expected a vitamin D slowdown, a decline of in pricing worldwide of 7% throughout 4 years of the plan, and an increasing volume of 10%. Net effect would have been a vitamin D that would grow slightly at 2%. Well, the reality of the market, especially in two markets, is that this is not going to happen. I think that a 28% decline in price will not happen in 5 years, in 4 years. It's going to happen in 12 to 18 months. At that point, it's going to be a reset, as I said, and then volume kicks in, and I think the dynamics that we had foreseen will kick in. As you said, we were expecting already in the trend the growth from the Liaison XL and the new products and the molecular, and that I keep reiterating that. Fact is that the Liaison XL is a very successful platform, as you see, you can see it from the numbers. And fact is that for HIV and hepatitis, which was a big bet for us, because we are going against the gorilla, we are showing signs that our strategy of not waking up the gorilla, but going to our install base is really showing benefits.
So we have to understand that the 2015 guidance will have to be updated?
At this stage, I don't think that I'm ready to update the guideline, to be honest with you, because, again, I think that we need to wait to 2012, and we need to wait to see that vitamin D will go where I project it to go, and the success of the Liaison XL, and then we will have a better understanding of what is the running rate for the business, and then should be able to comment on expectation, future expectations.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Andrea Balloni of Fidentiis. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Only one question left. I missed a point about Murex. Could you please give us an idea about the profitability that Murex achieved in 2011 and which are your guidance and your target in terms of sales growth and margin on 2012? Thanks.
Murex was very strong in second part of 2011. In quarter four, we experienced record sales for the Murex line, mainly driven by sales in Asia Pacific, whereas sales in the Middle East are still sluggish, stabilizing, but far from expectations. We believe that in 2012, however, is an effect of us having learned the business, having identified the right partners for distribution. We expect that sort of a positive contribution of to growth of the Murex line. As far as profitability, as we stated before, we do not report profitability separately. However, I think that we have always commented the fact that once the manufacturing sites were streamlined and the customer was streamlined, we were expecting an EBITDA margin contribution in the mid 30%, and I think I confirm that this is what we are seeing today.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone. Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over. You may disconnect your telephone.